This Week in Palestine, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for the week of July 21st through July 28th, 2006.
Victory for nonviolence in the West Bank while Israel intensifies its attack in Lebanon, vowing to kill anything that moves within 4 kilometers of the border. Hezbollah fights off Israeli attempts to take control of the village Beit Jebel in southern Lebanon. Condoleezza Rice calls the assault that has claimed nearly 500 lives birth pains. And in Gaza, the Israeli military kills 30 people in one neighborhood in a two-day assault.
These stories and more are coming up. Stay tuned.
Nearly 100 Palestinians, Israelis, and international peace activists protested the impending construction of the annexation wall in Al-Hadr, west of the West Bank city of Bethlehem, Friday in what has become a weekly nonviolent demonstration against the confiscation of Palestinian land for the Israeli separation wall. Demonstrators chanted and waved Palestinian flags in front of a bypass road that connects illegal Israeli settlements to Jerusalem. Soldiers from the Israeli police, border guards, and army, along with half a dozen armored jeeps, blocked the protesters from demonstrating on the road. The protest concluded without any injuries. The villagers and peace activists began their protest 7 weeks ago against the confiscation of more than 25,000 dunams of prime agricultural land that will be used to build the wall. Demolition orders were already handed out to 3 families and 30 street vendors 2 months ago. Meanwhile, Tuesday, Israeli court ruled that its previous ban on annexation of land in the village of Bela'in for new Israeli settlement construction and new residents must remain in effect. This decision strengthens the work of Bela'in activists who have now successfully prevented planned settlement construction for 7 months, a singular feat in the West Bank. Bela'in activists have also forced the State of Israel to demolish structures in recognition that the land on which the settlement is built was illegally annexed.
And now, the weekly report of the Palestinian Human Rights Center for the week from July 20th through 26th. During the reported period, the Israeli army killed 38 Palestinians, 21 were civilians, 9 came from 3 families, and 30 were killed in an attack on the Shuja'iyah neighborhood in Gaza City. More on this later. At least 146 Palestinians, mostly civilians, were injured by Israeli gunfire, including 33 children, 2 women, 2 paramedics, and 2 journalists. The Israeli army carried out 38 strikes on the Gaza Strip, targeting residential areas. In the West Bank, the Israeli army destroyed the Palestinian governmental compound in Nablus. 1 resident died of shrapnel wounds and 5 were injured, including 2 children. 3 children were also killed in an invasion of the West Bank city of Jenin.
Israeli army continued to target civilians in Gaza. In one particular bloody invasion into El Shuja'iyah neighborhood, at least 30 Palestinians were killed, including 3 children, and 70 were injured. The Israeli army moved into the area Wednesday with tanks and warplanes, firing missiles at homes in the neighborhood. In one of the attacks, a mother and her 2 daughters were killed. George Abu Zalouf, Director of Defense for Children International, calls for international protection.
Today, in the international conference in Rome, everybody is speaking about international forces South Lebanon to protect the Israeli civilians from Hezbollah attacks. While we are under the Israeli heavy attacks since 6 years, and we were asking, we need international protection. We need an international peacekeeping force to protect the Palestinian civilians as an intermediate phase till we get our independence and the freedom as a Palestinian people. But nobody was listening to us. The international community failed to achieve this goal, but we are happy that there are grassroots movements all over the world and the international solidarity movements who come to Palestine to offer this kind of protection to our people.
Thursday at noon, Israeli jets fired a missile on a group of Palestinian civilians and resistors near Jabalia camp. Also Thursday, Israeli tanks shelled Beit Hanun in northern Gaza, critically injuring a girl, killing a 75-year-old woman in her home, and moderately injuring her son. The Israeli army also jammed the transmission of local radio stations in Gaza and used them to order residents to evacuate their homes.
In this week's attacks on the West Bank, the Israeli army killed 9 civilians, including 3 children, and completely demolished the Palestinian Authority headquarters in the West Bank city of Nablus. The children, ages 2, 16, and 18, died in Sunday's invasion of Jenin. The invasion was allegedly a botched assassination attempt of Al-Aqsa Brigade leader Zakaria Zubedi. The Israeli forces opened fire on a group of children in the street and later prevented ambulances from reaching the bodies of the 3 boys in violation of international law. Qadura Musa, governor of Jenin, says,
"A special Israeli army unit, backed by Israeli armored vehicles, broke into a mourning house in the Jenin camp and fired intensively rounds of live ammunition and injured 27 civilians and killed 3 after surrounding the area tightly.
Israeli troops pulled out of the West Bank city of Nablus on Saturday after a 4-day invasion that killed at least 6 Palestinians and injured dozens more. Israeli forces also arrested around 200 local people and moved them to prison camps in Israel. Before leaving Nablus, Israeli military personnel detonated explosives in the Palestinian Authority headquarters in the city, leaving behind a massive pile of rubble. The building formerly contained the offices of both the Interior and Civil Affairs ministries. In the bombing, 300,000 residents of the city lost their archived civil papers, including birth certificate, identification papers, and passports.
The Palestinian Authority paid the salaries of governmental employees who earn less than $300 and half the salary for all other employees, the second such payment since June. Apart from these payments, Palestine's 165,000 public servants have not been paid since March, when the U.S. and EU began withholding aid money, and Israel refused to transfer tax revenue belonging to the PA, now totaling $250 million.
And now let's go to Lebanon, where the human toll of Israel's 2-week attack continues to grow. This week, the number of Lebanese killed passed 400, almost all of them civilians. 52 Israelis have been also killed, 33 of them soldiers. Israel claims that 200 of the Lebanese dead are Hezbollah fighters, but the photos that come out of South Lebanon, where Israel is launching its offensive, are mostly of women and young children. One Israeli bombing of a UN post killed 4 peacekeepers in the town of Al-Khayyam, near the eastern end of the border with Israel. The UN monitors were part of UNIFIL, or the UN Interim Force in Lebanon, a team of international peacekeepers first sent to South Lebanon after Israel's Operation Litani in 1978, which claimed the lives of over 1,000 Lebanese. Since the creation of UNIFIL, it has been repeatedly targeted by Israel, notably in 1996, when Israeli warplanes bombed a post in the village of Kana, killing the workers and 200 civilians who had sought shelter there. The 4 UN monitors killed in the Israeli bombing this Tuesday were Chinese, Canadian, Finnish, and Austrian. It was later revealed that they had repeatedly contacted Israeli forces to inform them of the situation, which has led Kofi Annan to say the attack was intentional. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert called the bombing a regrettable part of war. 4 Ghanaian soldiers with UNIFIL were also wounded when an Israeli tank shell hit their post on Monday, and an Indian UNIFIL soldier suffered from serious wounds from Israeli shrapnel. Hezbollah fire also wounded an Italian observer on Sunday.
Israel has now begun to fight for control of a strip of land along the Lebanese border, which it claims is for security. Officials say the strip will range from 4 to 10 kilometers, but also say they will push Hezbollah 20 kilometers from the border. Defense Minister Amir Peretz has said Israeli troops are authorized to shoot anything that moves within the so-called security zone. Unfortunately, many civilians have been unable to evacuate from these areas, and many who have attempted to leave have been bombed in their cars and killed. But Israel's fight for control on the ground has taken its toll. 13 Israeli soldiers were killed and 12 injured in gun battles with Hezbollah in the villages of Marun el-Ras, Bein Jebel, and Aitarun. The fight for these villages is ongoing despite earlier Israeli claims to fully control them. Ghassan Adoni, a political analyst, says,
"I believe there will be more destruction because of Israel's disability to win a ground assault against Hezbollah. We would be seeing in the coming future more and more of destruction in Gaza as well as in southern Lebanon and other areas in Lebanon. You expect much more longer war and crisis than many expected, and there would be many surprises to this war, which means that it could create its own dynamic and goes out of proportion.
Hezbollah Secretary General Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah appeared on Al Jazeera this week, reiterating the party's commitment to fighting this ground battle despite military losses, but accused Israel of launching a psychological war by exaggerating the casualties inflicted on Hezbollah fighters. This week, Condoleezza Rice made her first visit to the Middle East since the beginning of Israel's attack on Gaza and Lebanon began almost a month ago. She placed the blame for the invasion squarely on Hezbollah and offered her support to Israel and called the attacks that have claimed nearly 600 lives birth pangs of a new Middle East. Rice was met by angry protesters in Palestine and Lebanon, the location of most of the casualties of Rice's birth pangs. Upon her visit to Ramallah, a general strike was declared throughout the Palestinian territories. On Wednesday, Rice attended a 15-nation summit in Rome to discuss the crisis with European and Arab foreign ministers, but blocked calls for an immediate ceasefire in Lebanon.
And that's just some of the news this week in Palestine and Lebanon. For constant updates, check out our website www.imemc.org. As always, thanks for joining us. From Occupied Bethlehem, this is Dina Awad,
Maya Williams-Carpenter,
and Ghassan Banoura.